fest. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Ayo's house,
in the middle of our street.
Ayo's house,
in the middle of our...
Isle's House, post Four Nations, before we get into all the news and the Islanders being 0-2. We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Rocco at Pizza Sports Guy. Follow Jack at Isle's Den. Follow producer Greeny at eGreenberg99 and the pod at Isle's House. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars, leave us a review. Boys, we suck again.
Yep. I think I'm still on the road to recovery after the last two Islander games I went to. I think the first one was Sunday against Dallas. I mean, the calls were obviously terrible. The one against Cizikas, the one where Pajot scores and Engvall with the goalie interference, that was a disaster. But you know what? They played pretty well, I thought. They weren't great, but they took Dallas pretty far. So I was looking forward to the Rangers game. Still alive for a playoff spot. Went to the building last night, and I still am under the impression that that was the worst home game I've ever been to. And looking back at it, I think maybe this is all a blessing in disguise that, you know, the refs made a terrible call against the Islanders when they were playing Dallas. And that led to a 5-1 home loss to a really not great Rangers team. And ultimately, the way I feel, we'll get into it, but when Matt Rempe scores to make it 5-1 against your favorite team, and there's Rempe chants throughout the arena, it is over. It is done. Wraps.
Let me just say, Jack approaches Islanders fandom a little bit differently than Rocco and myself, because Jack's still a young spring chicken.
And me. Give me a break.
All right. We'll get to you. Don't worry. Young spring chicken, constantly full of hope for absolutely no reason. Let me just point out to you that Dallas was on the second half of a road back-to-back, playing four defensemen for the entirety of the third period, and the Islanders still lost. So I don't really care about how bad the call on Cizikas was, and maybe the goalie interference we can talk about, but you have to win that game. Period. End of story. There's no unless. You win that game. If you're a contender,
They find a way to win.
This team has no heart and they're stale. And then just to go into the Rangers game, atrocious. You know, I got tickets to the upcoming Saturday game. The only thing that I'm looking forward to is that there is the potential that it is Brock Nelson's last game as a New York Islander. That really, there's nothing else to look forward to. I think depending on how the scoreboard falls over these next few days, scoreboard, leaderboard, standings, whatever you want to call it, the Islanders may be 9 points out of the second wild card spot. Presently, they are closer to the basement in the East than they are to a playoff spot. Like Jack said, it's a wrap. It's over. It's done. At this point, the only part of the season that matters is the next week. And
March 7th.
Leading up, yeah, sure. So next week and a half. Sure.
Yeah, no. Yep.
And what the Islanders decide to do, which in my opinion is obvious, and there's some things I'm already upset about that I'm sure I'll scream about at some point, but Rocco, I'll let you go.
Yeah, two games, you know, somewhat reminiscent of my soccer career, if you ask my father, you know, disappointing but not surprised. I did have the privilege of sitting...
Okay.
What's that?
Self-deprecating, but okay.
We could be self-deprecating here. It's okay.
We can. Oh, you should have seen how washed I was on the ice, but we can talk about that.
Yeah, that's a whole... We don't have time for that. But had the pleasure of sitting next to Jack at the game. And let me tell you what you just said about him, you know, trying to be optimistic and whatnot. It's kind of fun sitting next to him at times. I mean, we have Tony DeAngelo making a nothing move at the blue line, and he's screaming, "Dance on him, Tony D." It's fun. It's fun being next to Jack. He very animated, upset at the call,
If we were delusional, like Barstool, like we would put that on a shirt and think that people would buy it. Dance on him, Tony
If
D.
you know what?
We should.
If they re-sign him, we may have to contact our guy at Athlete Logos to get it done for us
Cross
because
that
that
bridge
might be a
when we
seller.
it's
Dance
selling,
on him,
yeah.
Tony
It's
D. I mean,
two shirts.
yeah. I
Yeah.
mean, two's better than none. But anyway, yeah, it just was the Dallas game, as Ethan said, I agree. You find a way to win that game if you want to be a contender. And then after that game, you know, whether you want to blame the refs or whatever, you'd think they'd come out flying against the Rangers, and it was quite the opposite. They had a good 5 minutes maybe in the first, and then it's just all these stupid goals. They lose. What did it end up being? Did it end up being 5-1?
5-1.
5-1.
5-1. And then my least favorite part of the Ranger game was the aftermath where the whole team saying, well, we played well. You just got your shit kicked in by your crosstown rival. And you have Hickey and Clutterbuck saying, come out with some pride in the third. I don't want to hear we played well and the score isn't indicative of what went on. You lost 5-1. I don't give a fuck. You're however many points out now, 7. Stop making not even that it's an excuse, but just stop with the country club mentality of, oh, well, we played well. They literally sound like shitty golfers coming off the course. Well, it was all right. I shot, you know, 100. Like it's not working. I'm just so tired
Nobody
of it.
said like it's not good enough. Somehow I didn't
And
see
then
that quote
Wah at
once.
practice, you know, we have a number of guys reporting that he ripped into them, I believe, right? Screaming at them at practice and whatnot. And it's what they need, but I think we're past the point where that's going to make a dent.
Yeah, it's
Like, half
toast.
of these guys probably, not half of these guys, but a number of these guys probably have one foot out the door.
It's in one ear out the other. I've screamed about this a number of times over the last year and a half, 2 years. It's stupid, but I think the analogy works. This team, these players, they're like batteries. And at some point, batteries die. And you can do your best to recharge them. Some batteries are rechargeable, but most of them are just shitty Duracells that are going to die. And you throw them in the trash and you move on. And after two deep playoff runs where they couldn't get it done, unfortunately, they came oh so close. These guys are just cooked. You know, Anders Lee turned out to be a rechargeable battery, and that's great. But we hit the ceiling for this group years ago.
The Eastern
And
Conference Finals runs.
yeah, and sorry, first round exit after first round exit, it's not cutting it anymore. And, you know, there we got some Islanders content creators out there saying, oh, you know, people wanted to sell last year and look, they made the, yeah, okay, they made the playoffs. They got their fucking ass kicked by Carolina. I do not want the same fate this year. Unless, of course, they sell off and still somehow make the playoffs. But to me, it's obvious. There's three guys that are currently on the roster that need to be gone. Some of them needed to be gone last year. But again, I'm going to bite my tongue for now.
All right, that's the game recaps. We want to jump into the next topic.
Which is
Time to
Brandon?
sell. It's time to sell. I mean, we've been dancing around this topic for most of the season, but now we're here. Trade deadline is, I believe it's next Friday. We're recording this Wednesday night, so it's time. We know we've talked about Brock, Palmieri, Pageau, Anders Lee, everybody. Who do we think is actually going? Actually, you know, let me before we get to what we think, what do we want now that we are officially here? Where are we all at? What are we looking for over the next week?
In a perfect world, I wish we were
Yes.
good,
Well,
and I wish that
thank
we
you,
can.
Jack. There's optimistic
wish
Jack
that we
again.
can. Wish that we could re-sign all of these guys because I do love them. Love watching
But
them
Jack,
play.
hold on, hold on. Even if
But
they were good, you would want to re-sign all of them.
if the Islanders were still like a really good team, yeah, I would probably want to re-sign Nelson and Palmieri. But it's done. You can't re-sign them anymore because you're fundamentally broken now. Like. Last night was my breaking point in terms of like, you can't cl cloud, like, you can't cloud your judgment with hope anymore after what you saw. They need to trade Nelson. They need to trade Palmieri. And they need to at least consider everybody else who isn't on an expiring contract. That's name is not Matthew Barzal, or Bo Horvat. And
keep the young guys, keep Simon Holmstrom, keep Siplikov, but everyone else needs to be on the block. And, you know, your team is just, it's just done. Like, it's not so much how are we going to get better? It's how are we going to get different, because this isn't working. And you're going to have to take chances on young players that, you know, might not excite you right away, like Scott Perunovic or Adam Boquist. Like, you're going to have to take more chances. You just have to change. It's really simple.
Jack, I love the statement there. You don't necessarily need to get better, but you need to get different. I love that. I think that's going to be a clip from this episode. The one thing I will say, though, is what you ended with, taking a chance on some young players. Yes, but ideally better than a Scott Perunovic. And this is sort of where Lou Lamoriello loses me in last year's trade market. I think right now, if we're looking at what we will get for a Brock Nelson trade, I think we all agree, Rocco. I mean, I don't know if you've heard anything. I haven't really heard much on the Brock front since before the deadline, or before the Four Nations tournament, rather. I'm fully expecting a late first and a B prospect.
I think that's fair.
I think that's fair.
That's a rental. That's a typical rental of Brock's caliber price at the deadline.
And that is underwhelming. And I know a lot of people are like, I'm already mad thinking about that. Now, the way that I'm...
I have a question about the potential return. If Lou, because I saw this in an Athletic article today, if Lou trades Brock like tomorrow, a week out, and he gets in front of everyone else, does that positively affect the return?
It might, because you're... This is my worry, and that's a good question, Greeny, because say they wait. Like, say Lou pulls a Lou, and if you have time, use it type thing, and goes to March 7th. But teams like the Jets, teams like the Wild, teams like the Kings have already made their moves, and the cap space is taken up. Less suitors. It's basic supply and demand, right? Like, if these teams are no longer in the bidding war, you can't imagine the price is going to continue going in the positive direction. So,
yeah, I just don't think that he's got so much leverage right now. Like,
as
unless
Lou?
Correct, Lou. Like, unless a team comes to him and blows him away with some great offer for Brock, like a desperate team that says, hey, let's just get this done now, then that's great, because it sets the market for these rentals super high for this year. And then you still have the option to move Palmieri after you've already used Brock to set the market. Obviously more risky and less of a chance of happening. But we all know that last year I was screaming, crying, banging the table for a Brock Nelson trade last year at the deadline over the summer. We're not going to go back and clip it, but you probably all remember my rant from earlier in the season about how Lou has never once sold the top of anything, and that he's like a meme coin and he's just going to get the rug pulled out from under him. People are going to see the return for Brock Nelson, a rental, a couple months, doesn't play defense, although I do applaud Patrick Waugh throwing the guy in the PK to try to make people think that he can play defense. And it's going to be a late first and probably a B prospect. I think everyone agrees that that's probably fair, and that's going to be what's expected at this point. And then we're going to think back to last year when they had a back-to-back 30-goal scorer and a guy who was on pace to do it again, who was turning 33, was obviously at the top of his game based on his age, his declining performance later in the season, and we're all going to say, imagine if they had just eaten half what they could have, how much more they could have gotten back for Brock last year than this year. And people, 30 goal scorers don't grow on trees. What would you have done about this season? What are we going to do about next season? And this is what upsets me with the Brock trade market. A guy that a few teams that we all bring up, right? Let's just talk about Minnesota for a second and Austrian legend Marco Rossi, where he's a guy who at this point, if you're looking to trade Brock for like a younger player of his caliber, You probably could have gotten him last year. This year, the guy's playing at almost a point per game pace. There is no shot. No shot you're getting a player of that caliber. All right. So you really are just like looking at a prospect who is yet to crack the big leagues and a late first for Brock. And that's the like that's what hurts. It's that all these players who you maybe could have pried last year with, hey, you guys want to make a deep run in the playoffs? Give me your 22-year-old half point per game player. I'll give you the bona fide 30 goal scorer, and I'll eat some money to make it, even more affordable for you. It's just it was a massive wasted opportunity in my eyes. So I think moving forward, the only way that I can prevent myself from being totally pissed is if he trades all three of Brock, Palms, and Pageau, eats some money on Pageau, and we can all just look at the trade deadline as one giant trade and say, oh, look at all these assets we got, as opposed to looking at each individual one, because I'm already pissed thinking about it.
No, I agree with you. And it's one of those things too, to further your point in regards to if they had traded him last year, whoever you would have gotten, say you would have gotten a prospect or a pick or whomever, they're also 1 year further along, right? They're 1 year closer to helping. Where now if we get a pick and use it, it's that extra year you got to wait, if not longer. So it's definitely frustrating, and I completely agree with you as far as Lou never being
And
able to sell at the right time.
one other thing I'll add, Rocco, just because I know this is going to be a point that one of us will bring up as it pertains to assets received at this trade deadline, is we've reported, we know for 100% fact that Lou was incredibly active this past summer in the trade market, trying to get Ehlers, inquired on Pinto, and did all these things, right? And what was the one thing that we heard every single time
Not
we
enough
asked?
assets.
We don't have enough assets. Well, we could have had enough fucking assets if he had moved on from Brock last year. It really is like so
But
simple.
it's not just this past year either, Ethan. If you think back, I think it was the offseason, one offseason prior, I believe, with DeBrincat. They couldn't get, I mean, DeBrincat kind of wanted the wings by the end, but they also didn't have the assets to put that deal over the top and get it done. I feel like it's happened multiple times where they just don't have the ammo. They don't have the ammo. They don't have the ammo.
I think the further back you go, though, it's harder.
No, absolutely, because they
It's
were
just harder to
closer to
justify
their
be
window.
right.
I got a
No.
question. What are the facts on the Brock situation?
The
Because
facts on
what do
the
you mean by
Brock
that?
situation
There's
are.
what I mean by the facts. My questions are: A, has he been offered a contract? B,
Yes.
B,
3 year.
are the Islanders do we have any sort of idea if the Islanders are open to actually
So,
moving
okay,
him?
so. Spoke to a couple people who I trust, and no one has, total knowledge and saying it's a sure thing or whatever. But each one I spoke to said they think Brock is destined for the market and he's not signing. And they all love to throw, and they're not wrong for doing it because Lou is
It's
Lou,
just
right?
crazy
They
though,
all
because
throw.
there's so many conflicting reports about Brock that he
But are
wants to
they real? Are
stay.
there really?
There, I see them out there that he
I
wants to
saw the one
stay.
tweet today that I don't take seriously. So,
Okay. All right.
if
Well,
yeah,
they're
and
out
I'm not
there.
naming the person because I don't take it seriously.
Yeah, because
But
this person's in our both of mine and Rocco's DMs asking about the Islanders, and then he's just making shit up on the timeline.
people I trust, I'll say, all threw in. They think he's go destined for the market, but you never know because of Lou. And I think when they say you never know because of Lou, because say Brock's number is 7.5 and Lou's willing to come close to it. Maybe come the deadline when push comes to shove, he might match it and just to get the deal done or something like that. But if I had to choose right now, I think he's destined for free agency, and you have, and if that's the case, you have to trade him. And I'm at the point where I'm at the point, and I feel like a lot of people don't say this, but this is my personal feeling. I think Ethan agrees. I'm at the point where I do not want to resign him. I'm like just done with the saga. I think about a week ago, I convinced myself that like, oh yeah, we could resign him and this
Same.
and that. We just, as Jack said, like we just need different, we just need turnover. And even it might not be great next year. I feel like we constantly point to the Capitals. They're more the anomaly than the rule. They're the exception as opposed to the rule, rather. But I like you need a lot of luck for that to work. You know what I mean, guys? Like it's not just going to be oh, we acquire this PLD like guy. We like if you try to match the blueprint, it doesn't mean it's going to work the same way. It's more likely this is a 2-3 year thing. And I think a lot of us have to accept that. And I feel like I'm beginning to accept that. And when I say accept that, you have to kind of, acknowledge that maybe you do have to make draft picks and not flip them. Maybe you sell more than Palmieri and Pageau, and in the summer you sell a defenseman and go further and beyond and accept that, anything we do next year would be icing on the cake, not the expectation.
But if we don't trust the person making that decision, then what are we even doing?
We have no
I
choice.
do. I
Do
do
you
trust
trust him
them
with
to
these
make
moves
right
though?
call.
Because I trust him with a lot of things. Like I trust him with I trust him with buying trades. I'll say that because if we go back and look at the Horvat trade, even the Palmieri trade, the Pageau trade, I think he overpaid a little bit, but he's
Agreed.
done okay and it's been helpful pieces, but we've never seen him sell. So it honestly makes me nervous. If you ask me my confidence level in Lou this deadline where he has to sell, I'd go 5 out of 10 because it's just like such a question mark. I'm so in the middle on it.
And he's
He's so
never
good at
had to,
trades.
but he's never really had to sell before.
Did he sell on the
Yes.
Leafs though once, Greeny?
I'm gonna pull it
I
up here.
don't.
It's the
I
I
think in the
think
first year, I think the Auston Matthews year, like the year they were bad enough to get Auston Matthews, he sold. I think.
he did. I have to go find it.
I don't even remember what that roster looked like when
It
he
well, I mean,
first
it
got
wasn't
there.
good, but I think
Like,
they got thirds and, mid-round pick. They weren't getting anything crazy.
but they were also at that time,
They
I
were
think that
atrocious.
they were atrocious, but like they had been bad for a couple of years. So like he came in and it was already like everyone up there kind of knew what
Right.
needed to be done. Whereas here, like he started winning from the first year he was here up until, last season, if you want to call it that. So it's like he's never been in this position as the Islander president. I have zero faith in him at this point.
He
I
got a
don't.
second rounder. He got a second rounder for Daniel Winnick when he sold at the 2016 trade deadline. That's good
Jeez.
work. Daniel Winnick is
I don't
not
even
worth a
remember
second round
him.
player. James Reimer for Alex Stalock in a fourth. That's not really anything. He had to cap dump another guy. Oh, the cap dump of Dion Phaneuf was pretty big. He actually got Colin Greening, Milan Mikolic, and a second round pick. That's really it. He got some second rounders for guys that were not worth second rounders at that point. So he's done. That's the only real time I think he ever sold. I'll have to look at the. I'll check the Devils. I will give you guys this. I was looking at the Devils' history the other day, and remember when they made the Stanley Cup in 2012?
Yeah.
Have you ever just thought what happened after that?
Parisi left.
They didn't make the playoffs again
Yeah.
until he left and they got Taylor
Parisi
Hall.
left right
But
after that
Parisi
final, right?
left, Kovalchuk
Kovalchuk
went back to
bolted.
Russia.
Yeah.
But you know what kind of threw me off? But those teams after that, other than the lockout in 2013, I think those few years after, they were very similar to where the Islanders are now, but they didn't make the playoffs. Like they were a few games over 500. I think that the Eastern Conference was probably just a little bit better back then. But the teams were decent for a little bit, and eventually the wheels fell off, and that's where his tenure ended.
But
But
remember, their core pieces, like even the older guys like Eliash or Marty Brodeur was still a good goalie at that point. Like their core guys were better than our current core guys right now. And then they also
oh,
had
for
like
sure.
an Adam Henrique or a
My
Travis
point.
Zajac, younger guys coming up at
Yeah.
that time.
Schneider,
My
they got right
point
after.
is
Yeah.
though, by this point in his Devils tenure, where he is with the Islanders, they reached the peak, and then the Islanders happen to make the playoffs. Think if they didn't make the playoffs last three, two, two out of 3 years, he would have been fired probably. So
I
he's
don't
made
think
it
so.
to a point. Well, no matter what, he still made it to a point that he's never been as a GM. He's past the point of the peak, and he's still here. Like we
Yeah.
haven't seen him operate under this circumstance. So I'm interested. I think he's very good at making trades. And I think that this guy is a two-time GM of the Year winner. That is the only executive in the NHL history to have that.
Is he
I
actually?
do
No one's
have
won that twice?
nobody has won that twice
That's
except for
actually
him.
amazing.
It's a sham of an
It
award.
is. And I just think that like we will get crazy sometimes. Like the guy watches the same games we do. He has to see that there is a problem, and I really trust him to make the right decisions here and get rid of some of these players. I really think he's going to come through for us.
So Jack, went in saying that, what are your expectations for this deadline? You think Brock Palms and JGP go? Do you think just Brock? Like, what do you think?
I know. I think some are going to be disappointed, but I think it's just going to be Nelson and Palmieri, just them,
Well, those
because
are
they're.
kind of mandatory, so that wouldn't be the end of the world if at least you did that, because everyone else could be a summer move.
I think he's going to do the logical thing. I don't think he's going to surprise anybody. I think the only thing that will is I think he's going to get some really good returns here. I do. I think he's going to get a really good return for Palmieri and Nelson. Palmieri has honestly boosted his value the last like few weeks. He scored a highlight reel goal the other night. He's been playing better. He's still scoring. I think we can all see he doesn't look quite the same as he did maybe last year or earlier this year. But I think Lou's going to really, I think he's going to get us some nice returns here.
So what do you
Actually,
think on Palmieri? Sorry. Like a second and a fourth, would that be a good return?
don't know what the return's going to be, but I think he's going to cook.
All right.
An interesting trade question that I just thought of, and Jack, you kind of mentioned it. Do we think that there are going to be any surprise players moved, like non-rentals, guys that we think are quote unquote core roster players that he might move on from? Or is it just going to be like Nelson Palms and that's it?
Well,
No
let me
shot.
tell you this. There, it's unacceptable. Unacceptable to have Scott Mayfield scratched. And now I
Oh,
don't even know
please.
who's getting
Come
scratched with
on,
Noah
Jack.
Dobson.
Karunovic is getting
No,
scratched for
no, no,
Dobson.
no. Greeny, the point is he's not a depth defenseman. You know he's not, and you don't need that many defensemen. So that is the only way that this is to answer your question. Like one of these core guys, like on the defensive side needs to be traded. We have way too many
Not
defensemen. We don't
happening
know.
now.
But it's this, that's the thing. It's a summer move
It's a
because
summer move, correct.
the one thing that Lou has done well is made it a very family-oriented team. So all these guys with no trades are not waiving them because they want to stay here. They're older, they have kids, you know, they have a family life here. So guys like Pelech and Pulak, as we've spoken about a number of times, you can't get their trade list until the summer because I think they have full no moves until July 1, I want to say. And then they have half.
Pollock is here
Even
until 2017.
2017 or
2027.
2027. Yeah.
2027, sorry.
No,
He's
but
going.
aren't both of their no, don't
No,
both of
just
their
Pelech.
just Pelech becomes a 16? I thought
Yeah.
both become a 16.
No, I thought both. I was wrong. It's just Pelech.
I do
Listen,
think
this guy.
I do think Tony D'Angelo could actually be moved.
Yeah,
I
and
think
I
he'd
mean,
get like a mid-round pick, honestly.
all these defensemen they just picked up hypothetically could be flipped.
Yeah, but these are not core guys, like
No,
the
they're
question.
not
Yeah,
core guys, but
that
I
wasn't my
don't want to
question, but
trade. Yeah, I'm thinking with
what
here's
core guy? You're not moving Dobson right now unless
they're all summer moves.
Quentin Byfield is available allegedly.
I guess
But
the question would
no.
be like directed towards Noah Dobson, even though
No,
you
he's not
guys don't
getting
think
moved
he's a
now
core
unless,
guy.
yeah, I
Summer
don't think
move.
so.
Summer move at this point, I think.
Here's what I'm thinking. Like
Hope he
this
likes
GM,
Erewhon.
Lou has been able to kind of sit here and watch the team he built go all the way to the top and then now come all the way near the bottom. We're 4 points from last place. And he is going to look at this and he's going to look at it as a challenge, I'm sure, to fix this team. And I think that he knows like change is needed now. And I really am curious to see what he does. I think everyone will be pleasantly surprised. Will they admit it? I'm not sure.
I'll admit it to you, Jack, if I'm pleasantly surprised.
Okay, that's enough for me then.
Thank you. But Ethan Rocco, what do you guys think?
I kind of
Is
agree with Jack where it's just more the logical moves, and then we don't see too many. I mean, I'd love to see it, to be honest. You know, I had my Dave moment, as I like to say, with Jack when Jack speaks to his father, and it's like, you know, his opinion changes because his father's opinion's so strong. Like, I sat down with my father for dinner and he's telling me that I got to get rid of half the team. And I was like, you know what? You're
That's a
right.
convincing argument.
We were drinking a little wine. And he's telling me we got to get rid of half the team. And it just, at the mo in the moment, it made sense. And I'm like, yeah, we got to get rid of half of these guys. But obviously, half isn't realistic. But he's right in the sense of you know, his reasoning was they're old, they're slow, they're, and it's all stuff we've been saying. So you, and what's scary with Lou is you got to get a little creative to do it, right? Like, do you approach a Scotty Mayfield and see if he would wave? Do you approach any of these other guys and see if they would wave? Do you push hard to move a JGP, as Ethan said before, and eat half? Because as we've seen, it might not sound great eating half right now, but we might be sitting on this pod next season and crying because we didn't eat half of JGP.
But
the
what
same
you
way
just
we're doing
said,
with Nelson.
But what you just said, Rocco, having to get creative
is not loose.
This
style.
is an 82-year-old general
no,
manager.
I know.
Like,
I know. And it's that, honestly, it's the type of thing too. When you're out of it the way they are, after you trade a couple guys, you should be brokering deals too.
100%.
Eating some of the money and getting some extra picks. But they won't do. I'd be shocked if they did that. And that's exactly what they should be doing.
You know what we forgot? We paid Ryan Pulock to be a first pairing defenseman. He's
well, we
not
paid
a first
PNP
pairing defenseman.
Because they were Trotz merchants.
Well,
it was that system.
Pelech's held his own.
He's looked better. Pulock's not looked
Pulock's
good.
Pulock's been a disaster.
But Pulock makes a lot of money.
Out. To Pulock's defense right now, he had a pretty bad injury. And who knows if he's even 100%.
He also got married to the daughter of a fucking billionaire. So who, like, this guy doesn't give a shit.
Okay.
That's an interesting tidbit.
Yeah, is he actually a billionaire? I know he's loaded, but.
Okay, billionaire, 100 millionaire. You guys, like, loaded.
There's just a difference.
Well, to bring it back on the rails for a second, I think most of Lou's decisions as, like, his contract extensions pretty much have all been misses besides maybe one or two people. So, like, yeah, sure, Pelech's been better, but, like, he's not even close to what he's being paid. Like, that's absolutely not what he should be getting paid.
At least he's reliable. Pulock is not even reliable anymore. Like, he needs to be the one that's traded, in my opinion.
I'm not totally comfortable when I watch Adam Pelech on the ice. I just am waiting for him to make a mistake, but he has been better. It's just like, I'm waiting for the 2019-2020 Adam Pelech to come back, and that's just not. It's
we
not
need
happening.
To we need to have Lou pull a Chris Drury with Pulock, and I don't know.
Seriously.
Maybe he's got dirt on Greer, and he just goes to San Jose. I don't know. Something's got to happen with the Pulock contract.
I'm not kidding you guys when I say this. With the rising cap, I mean, if they waive, you can trade these guys. Like, I don't think Pulock's in a movable contract. Do you?
No, I don't because
still
I think
it is.
No,
you
I think
it is.
People yeah. around the league view our guys in a better light, I think, than we do.
Yeah,
I
think,
think that,
we've
but...
grown tired of them. And no, we think that, but I truly think with the, what do they make, like 5.75 each, something around there?
I'll confirm that.
Yeah, but it's not the greatest number, but with the rising cap, it's
6-1.
Not gonna be
Pulock makes 6-1 and Pelech makes 5-7.
Yeah, so with the
right,
like,
I still think you're eating a pick to get rid of that.
I don't think you're eating a. I don't think you're getting much at all. But I think you're.
The term is also terrible.
3 more years left after this season for both.
Yeah, I think you'd get a late pick. And you're just kind of getting them off the books. Like, I could see.
Oh, maybe I'm underestimating.
I mean, Jacob Trouba went for a positive return.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think
I
of that,
Ethan,
and they're
I
better
think,
than him.
I think you're underestimating, Ethan, how dumb the GMs are
I
that
think
are
I
in
am.
This league.
I think you're correct.
Yeah, well, I think we can actually use this to transition to the next talking point here of Scott Malkin's presence or lack thereof.
Where did this come from? Was this just a nonsensical Botta rant that people decided to talk about, or what?
What of him like not being involved?
The Malkin stuff.
Yeah,
I think it's been a topic for a bit now, right?
It's been a topic. I'm personally seeing on my timeline more people are asking questions of like, where is he? Like, what is he going to do?
Which is fair.
Which it's totally fair. I mean, we've been talking about this for months, but mm-hmm. like this is such a pivotal moment in this franchise moving forward. It would be nice if our owners could kind of get involved. I know they're not going to communicate with us, but like at least, I don't even know how to say it. At least get like enforce a direction to Lou and not let Lou kind of run the show. What do you guys think? Do you think that Malkin or Ledecky has any kind of meaningful presence like inside of the organization for decision making? I should say.
I don't think Malkin gives a shit. I think he's getting every single piece of real estate that he wanted done. I don't think what he's doing is particularly impressive on that front. And I'll add that people amongst the fan base, and we can dive into the specifics of this at a different time, who want to get on their hands and knees and bow at the altar of Charles Wong for keeping the New York Islanders in New York. Okay. Again, we can debate the merits of that another time. But what's not debatable is, do you know how easy it is to bribe a Long Island politician? And that Charles Wong couldn't get that shit done is embarrassing. All right. Guy was not a good owner. I mean, seriously, you can't bribe a local congressman? Long Island? What's the
Scott
matter with you?
Malkin did it from London, for God's sake.
Exactly.
We're gonna get
Exactly.
we're gonna get a 1-star review on this episode, and we're gonna know exactly who it's from.
I don't know who you're getting at, to be honest, but you can tell us after if
Yeah,
you can. So,
I'll tell you after. I thought you all that's my bad. Continue.
Listen, if anything, that statement is in defense of Kate Murray, who clearly wasn't getting enough money at cash in the envelope from Charles. But I digress. Fact of the matter is, Malkin is getting everything that he wants. He's getting his He's got the arena now. He's got the parking structures. He's got the fucking mall. He's going to get what the affordable housing and the apartment complexes built. He's going to get everything that he wanted.
Yeah.
So, as far as he's concerned, I don't think he cares because schmucks like me still have season tickets. I don't know if I'm going to renew. We can have that conversation on another podcast. But people are still going to buy tickets. They're going to raise prices. Again, I'm sure the economics make enough sense for him where if the team is good enough, he doesn't have to care. And he
Yeah.
is not a hockey guy.
It's a small
So,
piece of the pie, I
whatever.
think, in the grand scheme of things, right? Like
It's
in
a
this total investment,
it's a
the actual
pawn.
the
It's a
franchise of
pawn.
the Islanders is a small piece of the pie, which is honestly kind of sad for us as fans. I don't think he's this terrible owner. Like I respect the, and I've
No,
said this on the
yeah.
pod before, I respect the fact, like we don't want a James Dolan, we don't want a John Mara where it's you can't get out of your own way. I'd much rather you just write the check, spend the money, put the right people in place. But right now with Lou, it's just like, yes, you put him in place and he did a good job for a bit. But you also are at the point where you can't just let him run wild. Like,
Honestly,
this guy's a businessman. Go ahead, Jack.
think about if it wasn't Lou and it was someone else who had this kind of power. That's a lot more scary to me.
Yeah, but my other the to combat that statement, Jack. If it wasn't Lou, I don't think we'd be debating whether or not we'd be selling. I think we
That's
would know.
true.
We would
That's
know.
true.
Like it
It's a
wouldn't
lot
like
of
all
other
these,
stuff.
even all these big time NHL analysts, Elliot Friedman, for example. Well, we don't know with Lou. We don't know if he's going to sell. If we had like a younger, savvier GM, we'd be saying, "Oh, who are we selling beyond the rentals? Not are we selling?" And that's the difference. And I think, Malkin being the businessman he is, you have to. I mean, maybe he doesn't even look at it, but if you do look at the situation, it's like business 101 to sell right now. Like you got to approach Lou and say, hey, like these are the assets we have. And if we don't sell them, we get nothing. You have to sell them.
I
You
think
can't
this.
just let them walk, especially with the position they're in. They're not a Florida, Carolina, Vegas,
Yeah,
Winnipeg
but you know
Jets where you're a
what?
contender.
The opposite of this is you get a John Mara or a Jerry Jones who's like doing whatever they want because they
But
own the team.
that's what I'm saying. So
Yeah.
it the grass isn't always greener for all those that want to shit on Malkin and Ledecky. They got the arena, which is beautiful, and I know it has its, quirks or things people don't like, but I enjoy every time I go there, especially with Jack. And let's we don't I never see him like stepping in and being vocal. Like I never see them release it. What did the Rangers release? Like the quote unquote letter. Was it called the letter? What did
Yeah.
the
Yeah.
letter? Like I don't see the Islanders ever doing that because I
No.
think they're too hands off. But again, just put the right people in place and know when it's time. And right now, I think it's kind of at that point where they should know it's time with Lou and approach him and say, hey, just do the right thing here and we let you go admirably after the season or whenever you're going to go. But you have to do right by us right now because we've done right by you for all these years.
Well, there's another layer to it also. I think because Scott Malkin still lives in London, like he could be using and probably is using John Ledecky as his eyes and ears to what's going on.
100%.
And when we've heard John Ledecky speak before, like he's on another planet, like delusional. Like he thinks that he like connects with the fan base and he knows what people are thinking and oh, in Lou we trust all this stuff. I don't know if his message is any different behind closed doors when he's talking to Malkin, and that's a scary, scary thing.
But you don't think
I
they
don't think they
listen?
talk.
But you don't think
Of course they
who you don't
talk.
think who talks?
Malkin and Ledecky?
How often do you think Malkin and Ledecky talk during the season?
Often, I
I would
think.
say often.
I
Probably
think
good
Ledecky
friends.
briefs him on everything.
Okay, Ledecky probably. Malkin and sorry, what was I saying?
You said Ledecky and Malkin. Did you mean Ledecky and Lou?
I meant Malkin and Lou.
Oh,
Oh no,
Malkin and no. I think
I'm talking about the
Ledecky's the
two
bridge to
owners.
those two.
Exactly. And
Yeah.
if the message
I agree,
coming
sorry.
from yeah, if like basically I don't trust the message coming from Ledecky to Malkin, who's then ultimately making the decision, and that could be affecting things as well.
But one good point, Greeny. But the one thing I have noticed, and I think Ethan, you're a season ticket holder. Jack, I know you've had tickets in the past. It is interesting the steps they've taken for the season ticket holders, as in, I know they're allowing some locker room access for the season ticket holders, which, like, that was such a secret, silly thing that, like, no one could see the locker room at first. And I think for season ticket holders, they're going to have $10 Emerald parking and all these different things. So, on Ledecky, I think they do listen and they do try to adjust. It's never going to be perfect, but I appreciate the effort at times. I'll say that. Like, trying to adjust, trying to make it more fan friendly. You
That's
know,
what it is.
letting John Collins get their ear a bit. That's their PR guy now, right?
Yep. I
So
think
that's a big help.
the overall fan experience is better than it's ever been.
100%. And
That's what I
that's
was
a
saying.
lot to do with the arena.
That's where
Yeah,
the
of
focus
course.
is.
But you know, like that, there is some value in that. I think we could all appreciate this growing up at the Coliseum, like understanding that the fans are your customers. So you do have to respect them in that way, but I think like there is a point where it becomes desperate or it comes across as desperate when they're just going to be throwing all these offers at the season ticket holders and you know lowering certain prices or giving more access because they know that the product is bad and they're just trying to keep people, you know, keep people renewing. And like
But
I sorry to cut you off, Rocco.
no, go
Like
ahead.
Ethan, I also have partial season tickets. I have no idea if I'm going to renew. I probably will, but like they
You'll be
need
there in
to,
your Beauvillier jersey next year. Who are you
yeah, basically my
kidding?
Beauvillier and my Sorokin jersey, and I'll be pissed off on opening night when they lose. But it's like they have me, they have Ethan, like they have us. We're already
Yeah,
committed to
we're
it,
overly loyal, basically.
exactly. So
Like
like they don't
we're
have,
loyal to a fault.
yeah, like they don't have to worry about us, which is why I think it's nice that they are giving us some of these offers because they don't want us to be as pissed off as we can possibly be. But if they want to attract the more casual fan, they have to win. The product has to be there.
It's always going to be about winning with them. Like, there's only so many teams across American sports that it doesn't matter, right? Like in New York, I would say it's, you know, the Yankees, it doesn't matter because their history. The Knicks, it doesn't matter because their location. The Rangers always sell because of their location. The two NFL teams, I mean, they were atrocious by the end of this year, but they always sell. There's only 8 games, and the NFL's a monster. Hockey's different, right? It's the fourth of the big four. And the Islanders are probably the smallest market out of all those teams. So you really, it's always going to rely on winning. And I think maybe some of these perks are them coming to the realization that it might take a little longer than they want it to. That's at least how I'm reading it. I'm reading it as
It's just the numbers. Their renewal numbers stunk last year. They're going to stink again this year.
But
no, I, they will.
desperate. When will they put it together that it has to reflect on the ice?
I think they know, but I think now they're in, but you know, it's a rock and a hard place now because you have this old roster where they're not really ready to win. But what do you like? We're all talking retool and you hope it works, but let's talk worst case here. Imagine you try to retool and you flip picks or you do whatever you got to do and it doesn't work out again. What do you do after that? It's
You tear
not, it's
it
not
down, you start over.
right. And then what does that do to attendance?
The attendance is going to be bad anyway at that
Right.
point
No, but I'm saying, like,
if your
but
retool
it
fails.
takes longer. It takes even longer, but that's why it's just so, it's such a difficult situation. And that's why I say I'm worried, because I think so. I think it all gets kickstarted by this deadline. And if they don't do the right thing, it could get ugly.
I just don't see this. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jack.
Have you ever thought about the idea of like Ledecky? I don't know why I can't get this out of my head. Can you imagine Lou in his office like tomorrow and Ledecky knocks on the door and walks in and is like, "So Lou, like, what do you think? Like, we can sell?" I feel like Lou would be like, "Get the fuck out of my office."
100%. I think he'd say, "You don't write my checks. Let me know when Malkin is asking any questions."
Where is Malkin? Like,
London.
Geographically, he's in London.
He's in London. We've said that a couple times.
I love that. That's what's going on in your head. That scene.
Yeah, I'd pay to see that.
But I honestly, I don't think you're that far off, because Lou is essentially the owner without. I think I said this last time. He's the owner without any of the financial commitment to being the owner.
And he's said
job
to be
in the world.
And he's said to be one of the most intimidating men in hockey. So.
Oh, we'll
someone
get to
that's
that.
All bubbly and everything, like John Ledecky, probably is like, "Okay, see you later."
I don't understand that with him, by the way. Like Elliot Friedman says, like, you know, like teams aren't going to talk about Nelson, be out of respect for Lou Lamoriello. Like, what does that mean?
It means a black van will show up to your in front of your house, like Ethan and I worry
like
about.
Stop.
No,
but
I literally haven't been fucking banned from the stadium yet. it's all bullshit.
No, I think it's just that they, you know, it's Lou's negotiating tactic, and he has the threat of, if you leak this, it's not happening still. And teams like to keep it quiet. Like, I think we've spoken about when the JT Miller deal almost happened, you had the Vancouver GM on the draft floor saying, "Oh, we never discussed that. So clearly he has some sort of power where they all abide by it.
Well, you know, there's a thing I know it exists in baseball, where all of the general managers are in this giant either group text or group email. And
yes,
I read an article about this years ago. They reply to each other with emojis and GIFs. And like, that's how the actual business starts. That's where the conversation starts.
Right.
I am pretty sure that the 31 GMs in the NHL have like a group chat with themselves, and then Lou is just on the outside by himself. And when they need to loop him in for something, that's why it's all out of respect for Lou. Like, we'll leave the group chat and we'll deal with Lou's rules when we're just going to do
because
this
Lou has
with the Islanders.
Lou has his special phone that's connected to the red wire.
Well, Greeny, exactly. It's funny you say that, because I think Friedman said that on 32 Thoughts, where there's like this GM group text, and he literally, I'm going to try to find the clip, but I'm almost certain he says
he did
Lou,
say this.
Lou never uses that. Like, Lou refuses to use it, and it's all on the side with him. Where the other GMs, like, I'm sure other GMs, like Chicago's right now, for example, like, "Hey guys, like, if you're interested in Seth Jones, yada, 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 let me know," type thing. Like, Lou doesn't discuss it in there. Like, you got to go privately to Lou.
And so, like, first of all, I did not know that. That's really funny that that's actually true. That's funny. But the other thing is, like, there have been so many of those, like, smaller moves over the last couple of years, you know, a random prospect for a fourth round pick. And every time it happens, I'm like, why couldn't Lou do that? And now it's probably like, Lou didn't even know this guy was even available. This conversation was even happening. So that's kind of disheartening.
Well, I think he reads it and sees it. He just doesn't discuss that sort of stuff on his own.
I just envisioned him not even being involved with it.
If you want to envision it that way, you can. But I just think he wouldn't. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, so before we get to Green Room and Q&A, you want to touch on any of the big fish around the league? Rantanen, Marner, anything that we've heard, anything interesting that could affect the Islanders?
This is just a great situation to watch unfold in Carolina right now. I mean, we suck, but it's fantastic. They trade for Mikko Rantanen. I thought they won the trade. I honestly didn't realize how good Natchez was, but yeah, good for him. Good for Colorado. Not our problem anymore. Rantanen is struggling. I've seen tweets from Hurricanes fans complaining about his body language. And the Hurricanes are just one of those teams where they've made all the right moves the last few years. The one bad move they made was trading for Gensel last year and then having him leave in free agency. And now with this Rantanen situation, not even related to the Islanders, like I'm just curious to see what they do. Are they going to panic and be like, we can't lose him for nothing and just flip the guy? That would be so stupid on so many levels, not thinking straight. So excited to watch how that goes.
I mean, if they wanted a 6'5" Euro with bad body language, they could have got Engvall a lot cheaper.
True.
But and on Rantanen, I think I tweeted out the other day. I heard that, and I spoke with this with Ethan on this. Friedman leaks or says on whatever, I don't know. We all follow the NHL watchers and the Tajes and these guys on Twitter that basically will regurgitate whatever Elliot says on a pod or an intermission show or whatever. But the other day he says Carolina has offered him a nine-figure contract, meaning the contract has reached 100 million. Very strategic because Carolina is known to be somewhat cheap, if not with their offers, with their structures at times, whether it's signing bonus or trying to defer or whatnot. So from what I heard, that 100 million offer was just into the 100 million, like 12.5 to like maybe a touch over 13 per.
Which would have been what Colorado offered him.
I think Colorado didn't get up to 12.5, if I remember correctly. I
If
think
Mikko
the.
Rantanen screws this team over, I'll love him forever.
Yeah. And it's, but you know what? For every, Carolina fans will hate him and they'll have the right to, but like, he doesn't owe them shit.
He doesn't want to live in Raleigh, dude.
He got surprise
Fuck
traded
that.
to them and they didn't have an extension in hand. And that's kind of on them, right? Like, you traded Natchez for a rental, essentially. If you don't, they could still get it done. Like, they might just meet his number and get it done. But it's one of these things where they might get to the point where they might not want to get it done because he doesn't really look good there. He might just not mesh well with their style. They play that dump and chase 200-foot game, and he's a 6'5" freak that doesn't want to hit anybody, but it's an insane score. So,
Sebastian Aho is not Nathan MacKinnon
I
at
mean,
all.
Aho's very good, but honestly, I'm a big fan of Rantanen. I would take Rantanen, and I don't think he's a MacKinnon merchant like everyone likes to say now, but
Well,
it's hard to fit into a system, and it's hard to fit into that sort of system. It
yeah,
would be
well,
like, it's
you're
similar to
saying
like if
you
he came during Trotz's era and tried to fit in that Islander system. I don't think it
wouldn't
would be that
fit.
easy on him.
No, but okay, you're saying you would take Rantanen, but you guys were all clowning me for my suggestion in the group chat earlier.
What was that?
Try to
Trading for
go,
him?
yeah, go try to fleece Carolina.
Yeah, but no, I disagreed with it because you're saying trade for him now. And I said I would trade for him now if there was an extension in hand. If you're
No,
just
I'm saying
trading for
offer
him,
them the dude. If he's not, the report today was he's not even talking extension with
but
Carolina. This
he's
guy,
destined for the market, right? We
you know what I
think.
just thought of? That's great. So you can get him for probably significantly cheaper, and then you're the team that has the option to offer him the eighth year. You can just let him see how he fits in the system for a couple months. Like, dude, honestly,
Are you giving up a first round pick for that?
I'm not
Ethan,
giving up a
yes.
first
Ethan,
round pick. Yes.
you missed an
The pick
easy
you get for
part.
Brock, are you giving
Hold
up?
on,
Because
hold on,
that's what
hold
it
on,
would
hold on,
take. It
hold on,
would
hold
take a
on.
first.
Three people are talking right now.
Because it's a bad,
Jack was
bad
trying to
take.
interrupt. Jack, what?
So, do you know who Carolina's second line center is?
Okay. All right, I'm going to answer Rocco's question first.
Go.
Okay. Yeah, I would give up a first like a late first for and that's sort of what I was suggesting. Like I'll take some of these assets and flip like a late first for a shot. Like I'm sure like I think a lot of people listening right now probably think I'm fucking crazy, but like you guys don't think like a late first just to be the
Yeah,
team
but
that can
Ethan,
offer him that
that's
eighth
not
year?
getting it done.
But
No
Ethan, you got
chance.
to keep in mind that late first, like say we hold on to that late first and we go Yeah.
into the offseason.
Okay.
Can that late first get a Shane Pinto-esque player or someone like that who you get to get, acquire, and then keep?
I
Obviously,
have no idea.
you're taking a home run swing. I get the idea,
Absolutely.
but if they were making the playoffs, I could understand the home run swing a little more. But you're going to trade for him, have him play in front of mostly an empty arena for the rest of the season on a losing team, and then say, please come here. Here's the money. Please come. Why not just wait till free agency and throw him the bag?
I don't think the arena matters. Guys playing in front of packed crowds in Carolina on a first place team.
But it's in
And,
Raleigh.
oh, okay. So what?
I'm
He's going to play in front
just
of
going off,
a
Jack.
half packed crowd on Long Island. Like, at least we got good schools. I just want take a swing. take a swing. You're going to get all these assets.
I'd be fine with them taking a swing, but it has to be a locked-in swing.
But I think, again,
it has
like,
to be a Juan Soto like deal like where the guy's going to be swinging for you for a while.
I don't think it has to be. Like, I really don't. You're going to go into free agency. Like, what? Seriously, look at our batting average over the last
few
offseasons.
No, we're not. But that's my thing, too. We need the assets for the offseason because if, like, we don't even know who's going to be there. Like, we talk about, we always joke, future Islander.
Marner's hitting the market and Ehlers is hitting the market.
We think, but it's not a guarantee. Nothing's
okay,
guaranteed.
But even
Marner
still,
or Rantanen? Marner or Rantanen? Who do you
I think
want?
Marner.
Marner in a vacuum.
I decided
Marner.
The other day, Marner.
So
in
then,
a vacuum Marner.
So if that's what you want, wouldn't it just make sense to keep all your assets, throw the bag at Mitch Marner in the offseason, go from there?
But that's not a guarantee, and you can't even offer Mitch Marner.
Nothing's a guarantee.
No, but automatically increasing your chances by having that eighth year option.
Right, but you're also by...
And the guy clearly only cares about money.
Say it doesn't work out and you lose that first round pick. That's what we've been debating about them not having the ammo to go get the guy they need.
That's fine. But if you're trading Brock and you're trading Palmieri and you're trading Pajot, hopefully eating a little bit of money, and you have your own first, like there's got to be... And again, I still think that the right thing for Carolina at this point would just be keep him. Hope that you figure it out.
You could win a cup. Try and win a cup with him. And then he goes on a playoff run. Maybe he wants to stay.
100%. But notoriously cheap ownership. Tulsky's a fucking nerd. Is there some combination of like not breaking the bank assets that if this guy absolutely refuses to even talk extension, like, I'm sorry, you keep your first and you take your first for Brock and you're just like, fuck it. Like, worst case, we offer this guy 14 mil a year for 8 years. Okay.
Wait, so did you just say you're willing to give up our first and Brock's?
No. Just one of them. I'm saying it's easier to swallow.
Rental price.
Like,
if Brock isn't going to re-sign and you're going to get a first rounder for him, why not just flip that for Rantanen, who also might not re-sign, but is significantly better, is younger, and you have the option to give him the eighth year, which no other NHL team is going to have the option to give. So by nature, you can give him more money.
But
and
is
that's
that
clearly
be,
all that he cares about.
But is that going to be what he costs, just a late first-round pick?
I don't know.
Probably a little more.
Probably more. Again, this is a wild hypothetical that isn't going to happen because Carolina is going to keep him, but I don't think it's like a crazy thought to take a swing just to have that eighth year.
Just saying, their second line center is just Sperry, Kock, and Yemi. They should be calling to get another center because they're
are
not.
You, are you
Stanley
are you linking
with,
Brock to the Carolina Hurricanes? Is that,
that
what you're trying to do?
That's my point. What, but their center depth is atrocious.
A little Brock Rantanen swap,
dude. Jack Roslovic, Jordan Staal, who's a great third line center, but not a second line.
So
center.
Lou picks Sperry. Up,
but they're loaded on the wings. So that's where they make up for their center depth a little bit.
Lou picks
you're
up.
You're not winning a cup with Roslovic as your second line center. Not happening.
Lou picks up the landline, calls Eric Tulowski, whatever his name is. Excuse me, sir.
You might be Jay Fresh.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Do you know who your second line center is? Hangs up the phone. Yeah, we got Brock Nelson for you. That's how
there
the negotiation.
I'll give you a good. As opposed to Brock, Jack, what do you think of this? JGP to Carolina.
Much better fit.
That feels like a nice fit.
That's a great fit.
We
second
half,
line center. I think it could work on that team.
I don't want to. I don't want to hate him though. I would have to.
I don't want to hate him either. But I want to be good. So like whatever gets us the best asset at this point.
It's true.
As long as they don't go to the Rangers, I'll
Carolina,
even deal with the
Carolina
Leafs
winning,
at this point. I'll
Carolina
deal with the
winning
Leafs.
The cup doesn't like do anything to me.
Yeah, I don't know anyone from there.
Well, then
it's
you're
not
you're
either. Look at their
anyone
goals.
I know from Carolina is an Islander, a New York fan.
Right. Well then, Ethan's Rye or Cry Brindamore, whatever he calls him, is would go in the trash if they won the cup.
What did I call?
Is he on the list?
I don't think he's on the list, but call out rightfully so, calling out that he constantly bitches to the officials.
Yeah, he's a huge bitch.
He's a good coach though,
because he bitches to the officials.
Yeah, no, he's just his system's good, and he makes a lot out of a team that maybe isn't as good as they.
Okay. Right. Enough of the.
Anyway,
not glazing Rod Brindamore.
He's a good coach.
No glazing the rod.
Pause before we get to questions. A quick green room.
Sure.
Yeah, we didn't even really talk about Marner.
Okay, well then quickly on Marner,
The
like
only thing I
I
want to
think
say about Marner is that I have a private model that shows him as being one of the fastest, probably third, if not second fastest player in the NHL.
does your
We can
private
move
mo
on
your
now.
private model actually has him scoring more goals than
Yes.
the public models, believe it or
Yes, it
not.
does. It does. Yes.
And
Before we
his
get to the
private,
green
I also
room.
saw in a private model that his biggest needs are food and the schools. So interesting as well.
Mentorship
Fascinating.
from Matt Martin.
Yes, big
Well,
brother. Yeah.
Rocco, on a serious note, I saw
Yes.
you going back and forth on Twitter with a lot of random people who are like saying that Marner's not a fit or like isn't a good player. I don't know if you
Oh
want to
my God.
even address any of
I'll
that.
address it quickly. I'm so tired of people treating Mitch Marner like he's a soft. I mean, yeah, he's soft, but like people talk about him like he's a third line player. Look at his stat. I mean, I had people texting me like, why is he on Team Canada? This is one of the best players in the world. What are we talking about?
Yeah, that's
Oh, he
crazy.
wouldn't fit with Bedard. Yeah, one of the best passers in the
Will
world
say though,
wouldn't fit
I
with one of the
just
best shooters in the world. Sure. That's the
will say
simplest fit
though,
you ever heard.
I disagree with you guys about Marner over Rantanen, and it's only because both are great players. But Rantanen puts the puck in the net as his main skill set. That's what I think they need. They need
But you
someone
know what?
to
Everyone calling
score.
Marner soft, Rantanen's pretty soft too, and he's a foot taller than him. Like, this is another soft player. You're not getting 6'5" Brady Tkachuk. I'm not taking anything away from Rantanen, but the same, you could say the same exact thing. I know he's won a cup, but he was on a loaded Colorado team. Mitch Marner is one of the best players in the league. I'm
Definitely.
sorry, but if you look at Mitch Marner and you say, I don't want him on the Islanders, I think that's crazy. And I don't mean
It
to disrespect
is,
anyone,
yeah.
but I think that is crazy because he's
Two
instantly our best player.
two-time
They
30
don't
goal
know.
scorer.
You don't know what you're like. You just don't watch him play, or you just
And
simply
he's
don't
good,
know
and
what.
I don't think he's like elite, but he's pretty good in the defensive zone. Plays pretty good two-way hockey. I believe he's on their PK. Yes, he plays with Matthews, but I think Matthews benefits from him just as much.
He
It's not like,
does.
oh, he's not a Matthews merchant. He could
I
play with
think
anybody.
Matthews
He makes
was.
guys
I think
better. He's a strong skater. It's.
during the Four Nations, I think Matthews was looking for Marner.
I mean, he chased them into the corner, right?
Not that they would play on the same line, but a Horvat Barzal Marner line
Why not? You could
would
do it.
be nasty.
You could do it.
Rantanen fits that better, in my opinion, which is why I want him. But
Yeah, but
Marner's
you know what I
not.
will
I'll
I'm
say,
not gonna fault
Jack.
you. I'm not gonna fault you for that take.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Jack, but devil's advocate, if you have to put Marner on a separate line versus Mikko on a separate line, I think Marner drives the line much more so than Rantanen.
I would agree.
Yep. Definitely.
So
Yep, I
that I
agree.
think we need a line driver more than a complimentary. I don't want to call Rantanen a complimentary guy, but I think we need a guy that control play, pace of play, create playmaker like Mitch more so than Rantanen style. I would take either in a heartbeat. I just think it's crazy that people, I forgot who tweeted it, like, oh, crazy if you give Rantanen or Marner more than 11 million this year. I would throw 15 at either. I don't care. I
Yeah.
would take either.
Also, like Rocco, to your point, one thing I think we're gonna need, like, we're very close to living in a world where I don't think people are ready for this.
How big the
Like
number is
next,
going to be.
no, not I'm not even talking anything about numbers. Next year, and we can argue this a different time. Horvat and Barzal cannot be on the same line.
You
In
think
my
so? Ideal world, they should not be. Your
Would you
team
put
should be
Barzal
good
back at
enough.
center? Is that what you're getting at?
100%.
You'd put him back at center.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with that, but you need the right wings to do that, because if you don't have the firepower,
You
you can't.
do. I'm just thinking like they need to have a
But
big
that's what I'm saying.
offseason
So you could
to
get, like, say you
make
land,
middle six again.
but this is my issue with the Islanders too. Like, when I really take a step back and look at them, I think they have a lot. Like, they could use more bottom six jam too. Like,
Sure.
you look like at a player like a Trent Frederick in free agency. Like, he wouldn't hurt either to get, like, go and get a guy like that. You need those sort of players, but there's only so much room. So if
Yeah.
you create some of that room now,
But
it's so
yeah,
much easier to fill
I'm
the
just saying,
holes.
like, you hit up Winnipeg. Is
Ehlers?
Cole
Oh.
Perfetti available?
No.
Hey, he's got a vowel at the end of his name, Rocco.
I like the player, but he's not available.
He
He's
might be.
not. Doesn't he have like 50 points right now? Like, they're not just
No.
going to trade.
No.
Greeny.
Hang on. Cole
He's
Perfetti? Is
I'm
that what we're
unless
talking
I'm
about here?
confusing him with someone else, he has a lot of he's like good
You
this
might be
year.
confusing him with Viardi.
Cole Perfetti, he has 36 points in 58 games, 11 goals, 25 assists.
Okay, but it's still solid, and it's still a player that a winning team isn't trading right now.
I'm just saying, this goes back to my Marco Rossi argument. A guy who's on the cusp, but like, hey, do you want a guy who scores 30 goals?
Early, like get him a little early type thing?
This is when you buy a guy like Cole Perfetti.
23-year-old.
Buy a guy before he pops.
And by the way, Winnipeg.
I was on Rossi last year, by the way.
I know you were. And listen, kudos to you. But I'm just saying, like, you're looking at Winnipeg, a team that has drafted exceptionally well over the last decade plus. Like, look at their top performers. Almost all of them, with the exception of, who's the guy they got from L.A.? Was that Velarde? Like, with the exception of Velarde.
PLD
like,
trade, yeah.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Like, their top 7 or 8 point scorers were all drafted there. And, like,
and they have to be because they can't sign anybody.
Exactly.
Right?
So again, a guy like Cole Perfetti, who like last year would have been Marco Rossi territory of a guy who's super young. He's on the up and up. But now Rossi took that step. Hey, Winnipeg, you want a 30 goal scorer for your playoff run? Here you go. Brock Nelson. Give me the 11 goal scorer. And hopefully he blossoms under Patrick Waugh.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't mind it. I don't think they're giving him up.
I think
we're good. If we
it's going to be their first in Lambert. I understand.
Or first in Lambert, or maybe I know a lot of people are high on that kid Barlow. I don't know too much about him, but
Cole Barlow,
Colby, I think.
Colby, Barlow.
Yeah,
something with a C.
But you know, something right. like that. I mean, someone with high upside, it's fine. Like if that's who we get, if we get even a first in Lambert, I would be fine with that. I mean, I don't know if Lambert's going to be great, but he has a skill set that his upside might be high, and you try, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a good little conversation. Before we get into questions, a couple things I wanted to highlight. As far as stats go, don't have much, just that the Islanders have really struggled against the Rangers in the last 7 games now. They're 1-4-2, so that kind of sucks. Just putting that out there. And then also, I know you guys were critical of Sorokin last night, and rightfully so. He was not very good. And it was actually a little bit of history because it was the first time since October of 2002 that an Islander goalie gave up 5 goals on 5 or more goals on 11 or fewer shots. That was Chris Osgood back in 2002. And then on a positive note, Casey Cizikas tied Clark Gillies 6th all-time in games played, 872 games as an Islander. So shout out to Casey. And then just real quick, looking ahead, they got the game against Boston on Thursday. They have split the first 2 games with the Bruins. But the game on Saturday is another one of our favorite matinee games. The Islanders are 0-4-1 in matinee games this year. They have 6 of those left starting Saturday against Nashville. So we'll see how that plays out. And then I just briefly wanted to touch on this interesting article in The Athletic today. They surveyed 19 player agents. You got one. Okay. They surveyed 19 player agents and were asking them general questions about the NHL, a specific contract in the future. And there were some interesting comments on Lou, so I just wanted to get to that. So one of the questions that they asked, we'll start with, what is the best front office to deal with? So up top, you got your obvious answers, Tampa Bay, Dallas, Florida, Minnesota. The Islanders did get 2 votes, actually, for best front office to deal with, which I would not have really guessed, but people like that Lou is straightforward. One of them has a quote, I know it's a crazy thing to say, but I have such trust in dealing with Lou. He's so honest. He says what he means and he means what he says. And I just like the old school guys. But then there were 2 negative stats or negative polls that caught my eye. The next poll was, what is the most poorly run or unstable franchise? And the Islanders got 2 votes. They were They were the tied for 6th with the Red Wings for unstable franchise. The other ones listed Buffalo, Anaheim, Chicago, San Jose, Carolina for some reason. There was no comment as to why the Islanders were in there, but I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on that. I don't think the Islanders are poorly run or unstable. I don't think that's
I think that's
fair.
Maybe them not letting go of the past, like the Coliseum days, the Charles Wong days, where it was a little bit of a circus. As we said before, I think since Ledecky and Malkin came in, it's been on the rise in regards to those sort of things. So I think personally, I could be wrong, but for me, yeah. I think it's not letting go of the past.
Yeah, it was just interesting. I did not expect to see them come up on that list. There were a couple other results that the Islanders showed up on. The next one is, what is the front office that is the most difficult to deal with? The Islanders were tied for second with Carolina with the most votes. They got 4 votes. Anaheim got 8 votes as the most difficult to deal with. And one of the comments about Lou was, quote, they're the biggest pain in the ass to deal with. A lot of old school people, obviously, and Lou has no ability to let anyone else have responsibility. It's all through him, and every single conversation is draining. He goes, I respect the Islanders, but Lou definitely holds tight. When he locks in his heels, he locks in his heels. So I mean, we kind of all know that, but to hear it actually come from an agent just kind of confirms everything. Lou controls every facet and is a gigantic pain in the ass. And
that a quote? Was that a quote or you?
That's a green
quote. The pain in the ass? No, that's an actual quote. The quote was they're the biggest pain in the ass to deal with.
That was for the Islanders?
Yes.
For Lou.
For Lou, and of course all of them are anonymous. The agent that called him a pain in the ass said that a lot of old school people like Lou, he has no ability to let anyone else have responsibility. It's all through him. Every conversation is draining. That was all from the same agent. So just kind of interesting. Also, the Predators were put on there. So Barry, I guess, not easy to deal with. And then last couple, they asked the owners or the agents who the worst owners in the league are. Not surprisingly, Tom Dundon, who's the Hurricanes owner, got the most votes. He got 10 votes.
See you, Miko.
Say it again?
I said, see you, Miko. He's out.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't want to play for that guy.
Oh, yeah. The Sabres owner was on there, but Scott Malkin and John Ledecky both got 1 vote for worst owner in the league.
I think there was a bunch of 1 votes, though, right, Greeny?
For that one, James Dolan got 1. Tom Gagliardi, which I have no
surprising,
idea who that is.
Surprising Dolan only got 1.
Yeah, there were only 4 other guys that got 1 vote. And Ledecky and Malkin each got 1 of those. Again, no comment as to why, but I don't think they're a bottom 10 ownership group or pair in the league. I don't know if I agree with that.
I would have thought right in the middle, to be honest.
Yeah, honestly. And I'm just trying to find, there's this last one. Actually, I might have passed it. Oh, no, here it is. The last one. Future GMs to watch. Now, this could end up becoming an important conversation, but the number one future GM to watch was Jason Spezza, who is now the assistant general manager for Pittsburgh. And they say that the quote was from the last year of him as a player, he's trying to learn everything he possibly can. And Kyle Dubas has given him access to every single thing in Toronto and in Pittsburgh. And he's going to give it 100%.
It's probably not a good thing.
I don't want a Dubas disciple. No, thank you.
But well, he knows what not to do.
But the,
true.
But the other names of note, all coming from prominent franchises that have success. Not that you know them offhand, but this guy from the Stars was on there, Panthers, Leafs, everyone you would expect. Lightning were mentioned. So this could be something that we can refer back to, hopefully either this offseason or next year when we're looking for a new general manager. So just wanted to share that. And yeah, without further ado, unless you guys have anything else, we can run a couple of questions before we get out of here.
That was a really good poll from The Athletic. That was interesting.
Yeah, it was one of the few pieces of content of The Athletic that actually makes the subscription worth it these days.
Oh, yeah. Gave up that a while ago.
Yeah, honestly, not a bad idea. Anyway, we got some good questions, so we'll start here with at Isles Cave. And this, I guess, is contingent on Patrick Roy coming back. How important is it for Patrick Roy to have his own staff next year?
Important.
Gotta be, like, that's number one for the coaching staff. Everyone else Only his guys need to be there next year. That's a big
criticism. Even if Lou's still here, he still needs to be able to pick.
He has everybody. To relinquish that if he's here.
100%.
Yeah, 100%. Good question, and definitely needs to be a priority.
All right, that was easy. This next one is from Chico at Cheech and Chico. He has two questions, kind of a two-part question. One is, how much do you trust Lou to handle this deadline the right way? And then the second is, since there's no way that Lou is fired midseason, if he is let go over the summer, do any of you have any ideal GM candidates in mind?
I think I said it earlier in the pod. I would say if we're going out of 10, I would say 5 out of 10 confidence level in Lou, right in the middle. I'm trying to be optimistic, but as we said, he's never really done it before. So I think 5 out of 10 is fair. As far as next GM, we've discussed this a bunch too. If it's not Lou, it's going to be someone with experience, like a Jeff Gorton. I've seen Shanahan mentioned. I feel like I'm forgetting someone I like, but like a Jarmo Kekalainen type guy, yeah. Like and any of those. I mean, there's no one that I'm like, my jaw drops and I'm, oh my God, he would be the best fit, but I wouldn't be opposed to any of those guys, to be honest.
Do you want more of an old school guy, or would you be willing to have like a first timer young person come in?
I don't think it's even worth discussing the first timer, because as we said with Malkin, he's very hands off. He wants someone that's going to run it from the top down. I wouldn't be opposed to a first timer. I wouldn't want Spezza after I found out he's a Dubas guy. But I just don't think a new guy is really worth discussing, because I think they're going to hire a vet.
I like the idea of a former player. I like the idea of a former player. I think
trying to get Josh Bailey hired.
That would not be good, because he would keep everyone. So only for that reason, maybe in like 10 years we can get him in there. But Danny Briere, Philly, I like that one. I think he's a good GM, so get me a former player.
I actually think Thomas Hickey would do a good job. I know I'd probably get killed for that. I do think he'd do a good job.
No, I was only being half joking. I think he would do a great job. I think they should just run it back with Garth Snow, actually. You want a former player.
No, go to Rick DiPietro.
You go backup goalie. Maybe you go Varley. Give Varley the
sure. Win. Yeah. Varley can retire, get that cap off the books, and he could just be GM.
His first move could be that.
Yeah.
Let's throw Skarik up there.
Wait, but I do want to hear Ethan, on a scale of 1 to 10, are you confident in Lou to do the right thing this deadline?
7.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
More than I expected.
I thought you might
give a pass fail.
No, I only give pass fail when my co-hosts are being unreasonable in their criticisms of the head coach and I need to stake my claim.
Yes, okay. Soft. All right. Next question. This is from Mr. 305. If a new GM comes in at some point, do you think that new GM deserves and should pick their new coach? Or is there any way that new GM will just inherit Wah?
I mean, he might end up inheriting Wah.
Depending on like going before, to Wah. No, like but, be right, forced
we
to.
We think he has term on like, no, be forced to inherit Wah. Yeah, I think he would be forced to because of the contract. But I think we could all agree Wah would be on a short leash maybe if the new GM came.
I don't think money's really an object here for this ownership group. Like, I think if a new GM came in and was like, I want to hire my own guy, like, they'll just pay Wah's contract
that.
Yeah.
Like, let's say Wah has 2 more years after this at decent money. You think they just wouldn't care and say,
light
see
work. Ya? Yeah, see ya.
Okay. No. I disagree on that. I think they would keep him for a little bit.
I mean, I wouldn't complain.
Like a Lambert-esque. Like a Lambert-esque thing where they give him a little run. Let's see how it works with you. And then. And perhaps. It could be guys, and you know, and again, it could be a GM that likes Wah too.
Yeah.
Jack?
I'm torn on this one. Like, if you're going to blow it all up, you blow it all up. That usually means everybody. But I don't think he really got a fair shake. He never even got to pick his own staff. I also think there's been a ton of roster turnover in terms of like Perunovic, Boquist, Hogberg, Siplikov, Duclair, those are Wah's guys. Like, that's not from 5 years ago. So I would keep him. Do I think he would be kept is a different question. So I'm going to say no.
All right. I think he'll be kept, but I don't think Lou's going anywhere. Anyway,
Me too.
two more quick questions before we get out of here. This one I really like from Chris Hennessy at CJ Hen 0208. How would you split the blame for this season between Wah, Lou, the players, and ownership?
Ooh. Wow. It's a lot of math for this group.
And you know, we don't have to break it down by percent, but like, who has more blame
like
versus
order
others?
One through four, maybe?
Yeah, we could do that.
I actually don't think, I think it's like, I think this season is like meant to be. Like, seriously, I think it's some
for change.
Like, yeah, like the yeah. injuries, the bad call the other night, just the perfect storm, like the Sorokin stinker at the worst possible time. Like,
so you're going hockey so many, gods.
Yeah, like I think the hockey gods decided you guys are done.
You're
like,
done being mid. Done with your you got to pick a direction yeah. now.
I don't think it's anybody's fault. I just think it's not their year.
It's got to be someone's fault, Jack. Come on.
No, like the
that,
gods,
this is the
pass
fail answer.
Decided.
This is Jack's
play the blame
fail.
Game.
I blame the injuries. Barzal played 30 games this year. We have a scary.
All right, so if we're going one through four, I think I'd put ownership at the fourth, as in like the least
to blame.
Yeah, because I think we discussed five times. They're just trying to get the right people in place, and they want to be hands off. So I put them at four. The players is tough, right? Because as Jack said, there's so many injuries. So what was it? Wah, the players, Lou, and ownership. Yep. I'd probably put Wah three. Again, he doesn't have his own staff. I think Lou one, players two, Wah three, ownership four. That's what I would go.
Ethan?
Who are the four? Ownership, Lou, Wah.
And the players.
And the players. Lou one, players two, Wah three, ownership four.
Bar for bar.
Yeah, that's also mine.
Hockey
Although I
gods
do
one.
Yeah,
hockey gods
Jack,
one through four
Jack
for
added,
Jack.
Jack added a fifth. No, but I think if you also flipped one and two and said the players were most to blame and then it was Lou, I get behind that as well. Because even when they were healthy towards the beginning, they were not playing well at all.
Yeah. There's a lot of guys that are making a lot of money that aren't earning the money.
Yeah. All right, let's round
they
it
were
out.
Never even fully healthy, though. Even Sorokin didn't start healthy. It's crazy.
True.
Yeah, but it's hockey. You know, they're.
And was Varlamov even healthy?
No, like, we
he
don't
got banged
know.
Up at the beginning, right?
But, like, for the Sorokin thing, Jack, like, the way that I look at it, if you're playing, you're healthy enough to be a decent player. Like, maybe you're not 100%. I don't think Sorokin was 100% at the beginning of the year, but, like, I expected him to perform close to what a normal Sorokin can do, and he wasn't doing that.
Yeah, in the regular season. Like, in the playoffs, guys play with broken bones and
of
all
course.
That. Regular season, you're good enough.
Exactly. Anyway, let's round it out with our guy Ian at Ian_10_19. Out of our three right-handed defensemen who don't have any no-trade clauses, so that would be Boqvist, Tony D'Angelo, and Noah Dobson, who's here next season? You could say none, you could say all.
Not Dobson.
Boqvist is under team control for 3 years. Like, that's just a good asset to keep. They're going to keep him.
Is he?
Agreed, yes. He's an
How
RFA.
How old's Boqvist?
24, I believe.
Oh, wow. I thought he was a little older than that. That's,
no, because
that's kind of nice.
He was a first-round pick back in 2018, eighth overall. He's 24 years old.
Yeah.
Business 101. He's definitely a hold.
Yeah, I would hold him. And he does have skill. I think he's really bad in his own end, but he could be the Lubo. I think we discussed that. He could be the new Vasnovsky, which is let him run the power play a little bit, have some fun, and then shelter him 5-on-5.
Very
especially if we're
to
not
watch.
Going to be that good.
I bet Boqvist and Perunovic are here on. I think Perunovic is
do you
here.
You think Dobson's here?
It was not the question.
Jack, do you think Dobson's here? Answer that one. Is Dobson here next season?
Yeah, he'll be here.
No.
I'm going to.
You don't think he'll be here, or do you
I
want
do
him
not,
to be here?
I do not think he will be here.
That's I will crazy. Say, I think it's like, I think it's pretty close to 50-50.
Really? I think it's like 80-20.
No, I think it's more like 50-50.
Okay, so then of those three, you think Dobson is the most likely of those three to not be back?
No.
Correct.
I personally do.
You do. So most
I
likely
think
to
I agree
not be
with that.
back.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. It was Boquist, D'Angelo,
and
Dobson.
Dobson. Yeah.
I might say D'Angelo because you could even flip him right now at the deadline if you want. Like, I don't know. I'd go with D'Angelo
as the only one to be
yeah.
back.
Okay. Oh, the only oh to be back. Yeah, I think yeah. Dobson and Boquist are back. I'm sorry, I was
okay.
hearing it wrong. I thought
yeah,
he
no.
was being shipped. I could see Tony being either just he walks or. I could see them re-signing him too, but if you have to pick between those three guys, I would say D'Angelo shipped and the other two probably here.
Yeah, I agree with Ethan. I think it's Dobson the odd man out. I think in the offseason, Dobson and then one of Pelech or Pullock will be moved.
That's a lot of D to make up for, though.
But I think that we're heading in that direction,
we
to be
could
honest.
They'll have a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could sign a defenseman too.
Jacob Chychrun. Like if we got rid of Dobson.
I think Chychrun's not going anywhere.
I don't think so either, but I would take him as like if you told me right now Chychrun's our marquee offseason move, I would take it.
I'd
I mean,
be
I
pissed
would
off.
too. Dude, I've been getting fed Washington Capitals team content on TikTok last couple of days. Let me just tell you, I don't think I've seen a higher vibes team. I
Yeah.
mean, Chychrun and Ovi are like, oh my God.
Do they have a bunch of cap room? They have the cap to sign him, right? I'm sure they do.
I believe so.
Yeah, I think Chychrun's going to stay. But even like a Neil Pionk, I think he's a free agent. Someone like that would be a nice move.
Sure.
You know, but or a trade. You use those trade chips you get, hopefully, at this deadline and go get some D.
Oh, yeah, they have a ton of cap space.
So I think he's going to stay. I don't think they have to re-sign many people.
No, because they have their Backstrom and Oshie contracts are done after the year. They were on long-term IR anyway. They have a lot
wow.
of free agents, so they have tons of money.
I know Mangiapane's in the last year of his deal. I can't think of other guys, though.
I would take him, believe it or not.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, shocker.
No, I have actually always liked him. I wouldn't have taken him at his whatever 6.25 hit or whatever he's on, but...
Just
he's
wait till you find
player.
Out that he's Austrian, and then you'll change your mind.
No, it's one of those guys. I just like him.
All right, well,
like bottom six.
Viva Italia, I guess. Or no, Forza.
Forza.
What do you guys say? Yeah, Forza.
All right, are we wrapping this up?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
It's late. All right, thank you for listening. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe. Rate us 5 stars. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Where's his Sunday best? Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around. Io's house in the middle of our street. Io's house in the middle.